Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dan's Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
Hey, John, we're back after a couple of weeks. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm just dandy. How's everything in Florida?
Oh, stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. The usual. I mean, nothing changes.
There's going to be no point in voting soon in Florida. Now that they've changed everything.
Well, that's what they want.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
I mean, if they don't win all the shit, if like for some reason everybody comes out and votes Democrat, then they're just going to say it was rigged. So, you know, what do you do?
Well, you know, that's why we have the right to bear arms. So we have a well equipped militia.
That's right. For
when, you know, this happens.
Good times.
So yeah.
You celebrated a birthday while you were gone. Happy birthday. Hope it was a good one.
Thank you. Yeah, it was. It was what it was.
Okay. Sounds so convinced.
It's at that point where there's really no reason for birthdays anymore.
Yeah, I don't really celebrate mine anymore either. It's more of just a reminder of my march towards death. Oh, one more year. Less. Great.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. So what's been going on?
Not a lot.
No?
Not a lot. It's been pretty quiet.
Have you been watching anything?
What's new with you? I think I'm caught up on just about everything.
Okay.
It's been so long. Things have wrapped up while we've been away.
I know. Have you been watching Maul? We got some new Star Wars.
Yes.
How do you feel about the new animated show about Darth Maul?
I really like it.
Me too.
I really like it. I like the look of it. I like the characters. I like, you know, it's that typical Star Wars thing where, like, they're bad, but they're not as bad as some other people.
Right. Like it's almost like a redemption story for Maul, which is weird because he's been the bad guy over so many different iterations of Star Wars that, like, to feel bad for him or to have him as a sympathetic character just doesn't feel wrong, but it feels strange. But yeah, they've absolutely killed it. I don't know what the process is now as far as like coming up with looks for these shows. It's very different from would Bad Batch be the last like Lucasfilm produced one?
I think so.
Okay, so like it's so different looking. My kid and I were talking about this. Like when a character is in close up, the background basically looks like it's watercolor. And even some of the close ups of the characters, like there's a bunch of times where it's been close up on Maul where his face looks more watercolor than like a CG version of a character. And it's so stylized and so well done. Like Disney and Lucasfilm have really found a groove with like animated television. And some of the live action stuff has been hit and miss, but like all of their animation has been top notch over the last several years. So I know that there was a big meeting at Disney the other day between Lucasfilm and Disney about what the future of Star Wars was going to be, but
Right.
I really hope that a lot of it is animated because I think it's better for telling stories. I think like you wouldn't get some of the sword fights that they're doing in Maul in live action.
Oh no, not at all.
I think the Acolyte came close, but it was still a lot of what you saw in the Acolyte of storm or of lightsaber battles was kind of obscured because they couldn't get people to move as fast as they needed to do the fights correctly.
Right.
But like when Maul's fighting the two Inquisitors, like there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of buildup, like all the stuff on the train when Maul was fighting Merrick and Devin was helping out, like there feels like there's a lot of tension in this show that I don't think that any of the live action stuff has reached. So I really dig it. And there's only two episodes left and I'm kind of sad about that.
Yeah. The episodes are very short.
Yeah.
Or they move so fast that I forget that they're
There's definitely not, there's not a lot of extraneous stuff.
No.
Like the episodes move very quickly and at a pace where they're like, yeah, they're, everything is needed. There's nothing like wasted in any of these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's,
yeah. And the episodes just look great.
Yeah. And I guess they announced a season two is in the works. So that'll be good.
Oh, good. That's good.
Until The Mandalorian fails at the box office and then they don't know what to do with Star Wars anymore.
No, don't say that. Ripley's in it.
Yeah, but it's forecasted to open lower than Solo, and Solo killed theatrical movies for 5 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I've seen a lot of stuff recently with Jon Favreau where he was talking about how, you know, the volume was this way for them to do all these huge productions quickly and at a lower budget, and they had a really high budget for Mandalorian and Grogu, and they built all these sets and it looks so much different. And I was thinking to myself, that might not be a good thing though. I think some of the charm was based in the volume and not having to build as much as they needed and it still looked like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, oh, we've got a huge budget. We can spend a couple of years crafting this. And I think they may have spent too much money. I don't think they're going to recoup that. And the way that Disney is these days, I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing. So I don't know. And Disney
just have to sit
well
and wait.
Yeah. But like Disney even went as far as like firing, what was it? 1,000 artists from across the company.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't feel good either.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But that's business.
Yeah.
It's not art. It's business.
Yeah.
It's a money machine. That's really all that matters.
The only entertainment is profitable entertainment.
Yeah.
What else have you been watching?
Well, since we're talking animation, I started watching the Stranger Things Tales from 82 or whatever it's called.
Oh, I didn't realize that was
Netflix.
Out yet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
And I don't know that that's a bad thing. But it doesn't further the story as much, I don't think.
Okay.
There's this there's kind of the freak of the week, and there's all these random things that are escaping from the Upside Down. And one whole episode was about these pumpkins.
Oh, really?
That were like attacking people. It's like, oh, okay. And it's like a, the style is almost Bad Batch, but it's not quite up to that level. So it's a little less polygons, and it's like very chunky hair.
Yeah.
And most of the cast isn't in it.
That was going to be my next question. Did the cast come back?
They did not.
So it's the kids with all different voices.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's weird. And does it have anything to do with the Stranger Things story, or is it just the characters in these new weird situations?
It's, yeah. I don't know why they chose this way to do it.
Okay.
Because, you know, they talk about how, you know, they know about the Upside Down, but nobody else knows about the Upside Down. Nobody knows about Eleven's powers.
Okay.
So it's at a weird point where, you know, it's kind of nostalgia, I guess.
Okay.
But there's nothing else on.
I mean, I'm just reading the chapter descriptions, and it's like, chapter one, a surprising new threat alters the gang's plans to shovel snow for extra cash. Like, that's okay. That's weird. Yeah. I think they should have just left well enough alone.
You know, if you didn't have anybody from the original cast coming back to this, it's like, why? And there's already a second season that's going to air this fall. So they have a lot of faith in it.
Or they what is, how many episodes is it? 10? They probably contracted for 20 thinking, oh, Stranger Things. And,
right.
You know, they just did all 20 at the same time, and then they're just, like, keeping the other 10 while they, you know, so that people don't cancel their Netflix and then, you know, try to come back later. Man, that's weird.
Yeah, IGN... in the review, calls it a safe Russian nesting doll of nostalgia.
Okay.
If you're not watching anything else, you may as well check it out, but.
Okay.
It's. I don't feel at this point that it's, you know, trying to further what happened in the series. And the series ended kind of, you know, on a big note. And then this is kind of like, oh, and here's a bunch of 12-year-olds running around town, shoveling out an old lady's, you know, snow in her driveway. It's like, jinkies.
Zoinks, man.
Yeah.
I mean, all they need is like a pet dog running around with them, right?
Well, yeah.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what you think of it.
Okay. I mean, I'll at least watch the first one.
Yeah, that might be all you need. It's definitely meant for a younger audience.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Have you been watching Monarch?
No, I keep forgetting to catch up on that.
Oh my God.
Why am I missing out?
You are missing out.
Okay.
You are missing out. I'm not going to spoil anything, but I mean, they saved their money for the last few episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of Titans and Kong and Godzilla.
Oh, nice.
And then a new Titan appears in the credits.
Oh, wow. Okay.
From that mythology.
Setting up a season 3?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. It looks like it's wrapping things up. It's like Shaw's kind of gone underground and Keiko is back at Monarch. And
yeah.
It looks like it's starting to wrap up. And then there's a reveal that's like, oh, wow.
Okay.
So, I'd be interested to see. There's some weird stuff too because of the way that the rift functions.
Yeah.
That I wasn't expecting to see.
Okay.
But yeah, I think like the last 4 episodes are really well done.
Okay. I will definitely make a note. Because I have to seek that one out in other spots, so sometimes I forget. Have you been
Are you
watching Daredevil?
Yes.
It's funny, I guess they announced that this has lower viewership than season 1, but this has been so much better than season 1. The amount of shit that's been going on, that is relevant to what's going on in the world today is scary. Just all of like, so you're like completely caught up with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So things really kind of took off when, they had the boxing match, and like the boxing match was like super brutal and violent, and finally showcased really what like Kingpin's power is, like his like strength. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, okay. And then Bullseye comes in and he's trying to kill Fisk, but Daredevil stops him, and in that Fisk's wife gets injured, and just the shot of her turning right towards camera and you see the thing sticking out of the side of her head, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. This is comic book. This is like a comic book brought to life.
Right.
Because you know there would have been a panel where you turned a page and like on the page before it would have just said Wilson with a speech bubble going to the next page, and the next panel would have just been her with the thing sticking out of her head. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to get really good. And it has just been like nonstop. You got Jessica Jones back, throwing people through walls. Like I feel like this is the promise of the Defenders that Netflix was never able to capitalize on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you find out that Luke Cage is working for the CIA, what's his name? Matthew Lillard knows where he is and what he's doing. And like, you have all that story, and then you have the story going on with BB and the dude from the mayor's office who she's been like spying on.
Right.
But like like there's this great piece of writing where the other guy that's a hitman for Fisk is like, leak some information that you know is false, and if it comes out, you know who your rat is. And
right.
There's this great piece of writing where she has this change of heart where she's not going to put out the story. Like, she's typed it out and she's like, actually, this dude's my friend. I can't do this to him. All in like subtext, and erases the text and goes back. And she's like, she makes the conscious decision of like, I'm not going to screw this guy over. Just for him to turn on her and be like, I found this this SD card in your coat. You've been spying on me. And she's outed anyway. And it was like, it was such a cool like juxtaposition of like what should have happened that I was like, this is, they've really gone out of the way to like write this like really well. And then the dude getting offed by the hitman because he doesn't bring her to the safe house so that she can get killed. Like, I don't know if I saw that even coming until like he pulls the trigger and I was like, wow, okay, we are doing this. So it's been exceptional.
Yeah. So well done. I mean, the fight sequences are bloody and violent, but they also aren't gratuitous. They're actually moving the story along.
Yeah. And Matt is in the Daredevil outfit constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like last season, he spent most of it out of the Daredevil outfit, like mourning Foggy. And this season is just like everything. Every time you see Matt, he's going to be in the Daredevil outfit. Yeah. There's only one left, which I'm sad about, but there is a season three of Daredevil coming too.
Well, and we have the Punisher movie coming up.
Yeah. Next week. I think.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. And that's going to, that like John Bernthal said that he wrote it to be a representation of a Punisher comic and all the violence and shit is intact. So that should be good. Speaking of violence, have you been watching The Boys?
I haven't.
No. Okay.
No.
There's some.
But we can still talk about it.
Well, I don't know if you're going to watch this season. It's the final season.
I'm not.
No? Okay.
So, I'm not. No.
So because it's the final season, they are going full bore with like nobody's safe. Anybody can die at any moment. This last episode, Soldier Boy and Homelander go to a contact in Los Angeles. And it turns out to be the other guy from Supernatural.
Yes.
So it's kind of like a weird Supernatural reunion.
Well, and Misha Collins is supposed to appear too.
Yeah, no, him. Wait, which one's Misha Collins? Wait. He's watch Castiel. Supernatural.
He's so. The angel.
Oh yeah, they were both in this episode. But what I was not expecting was the other dude from Supernatural opens the door and he's talking to Homelander and Soldier Boy, and then it cuts to elsewhere in the house and Seth Rogen, who are the other guys? Seth Rogen, what is his name? I'm going to butcher his name. The Indian guy that's in everything now. Kunal Nanjiani?
Kumail Nanjiani? Yeah.
He's there. The guy that was MacGruber from SNL is there, Will Forte. And the guy, McLovin from Superbad is there. And they're all playing cards, but they're themselves. And, you know, they're talking about how, all of these Hollywood people have been turned into, Homelander's whatever program for like spies and stuff. And they're all like the dude from Superbad is like, Michael Cera needs to be turned in. He's been stealing my parts. And now we just need to say that he's a bad guy. And like, there's a scene where, the other dude from Supernatural has like super speed and he's chasing Soldier Boy through the mansion. And every time he rounds the corners, Soldier Boy has taken another one of the actors and throws him in front of the super guy, super speed guy. And they just explode into a blood puddle. Mm-hmm. Like it's really funny and it kind of came out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, this is, they're like, it's not as like there are some episodes of The Boys that are like really disgusting and really raunchy. And this season has been less of that, but like more death. Like a lot of the main superheroes from like season one are already dead. Like it's been like, oh, we know we're not doing any more of this with these particular characters, so we're just going to fuck them all up. Like it's something else. But it's fun if you like adult superhero shit.
Okay.
And this last episode was weird because it was cut into sections that told the story of each character from a different point of view. And Butcher has he's a bulldog named Terror. And you get a section of the episode that is from Terror's perspective. And it starts off with a dream where he's dreaming about Homelander, and Homelander's like, you want your toy? Well, you know what you got to do. And Anthony Starr like bends over in front of him and he's like, you got to fuck me good. And like, like it's the point of view of the dog as like he goes to like mount him. And then like the dog wakes up and sees a Homelander toy in front of him and then goes to town on the Homelander doll. Like, and that happens several times in the episode. And I was just like, this is like weird and wacky. And like, it's an interesting way to spend one of the episodes of the last season of this. I don't know if it was a part of the comic book, but it's fucking crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, The Boys. So while we were away, I jumped on a show that I believe you watched when it was first run. And I never took the time to watch it, and I kind of regret it after watching it. I went through all six seasons of Schitt's Creek.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'd seen a clip of Dan Levy, where they had brought him back to the town and they were talking about Catherine O'Hara, and he was like super emotional while they were shooting this interview, and they were cutting it back and forth with clips from the show. And I was laughing at the clips and I was like, all right, I need to at least sit down and watch a couple episodes of this. And I burned through all six seasons in about a week and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The writing for this could have gone in a different way and made the characters like super annoying. And like, you know, like they're rich people who are down in their luck and they're living in this motel, and I feel like had it been any other writers than like Dan Levy and the guys that actually created and wrote the show, some of those characters could have been overbearing at times. And, but it becomes this, at least for me, it started out as like, oh, look, rich people down on their luck. They don't know what to do. Like they're amongst the common men now. And like, what are they going to do? But it turns into a show that's like where they're like following their dreams and this like, don't give up. Mm-hmm. Things are going to work out. Don't think that we're done because we're not. And there's a real hopeful vibe to most of the show that I was not expecting. And I really enjoyed it. It was like the character development for every single person in the show was some of the best I think I've ever seen on TV. Like everybody gets their time to shine. Everybody gets their quirky moments. And like, I don't know. I feel like that particular writing staff just killed it. And like for like having not watched it in first run, I didn't have to wait for the time between seasons and all that. I could just go from one to the next, and which I enjoyed. But like, I don't know. I think having watched it, if I had watched it first run, I think, you know, having time to think about the episodes and, you know, week to week and then season to season, it might have been even more impactful for me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Catherine O'Hara is just genius.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my favorite episode is when she's doing the TV series and she's like the scientist who's a bird.
Yep.
And she's just throws herself into that like 200%. That's hilarious.
The episode at the, I think it's in the final season where they have the premiere at the town hall and mm-hmm. they release the crows and they start attacking people and she's calling at them. And like, it's one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen on TV. Because she's calling, she's like, she's all dressed up. Everybody's diving out of the way of the crows. And like Dan Levy is literally laughing at her in the shot. And they left it in because they were like, her performance is so good. We don't care what anybody else is doing. Like,
right.
You need to be focused on her. And like her choice of that, whatever that accent she has for Moira is just fucking genius. Where like she's, is that the bebe? And okay. Like everything she says was just so fucking funny. I even didn't mind Chris Elliott. Like, mm-hmm. like I'm not a huge Chris Elliott fan, but like they were able to give him shit that like made him less annoying to me.
Right.
Like it was really good.
Well, if you like that.
Yeah.
Netflix has a new series with Dan Levy called Big Mistakes.
Okay.
He plays a pastor and Laurie Metcalf is his mother.
Okay.
And it all circles around the grandmother dying. I mean, Laurie Metcalf is another one of those actors who just like gives it her all.
Yeah.
But they get tangled up in like the Turkish mafia and there's stolen jewelry and they get kidnapped and it's just one ludicrous scene after another.
Okay.
That's on Netflix. I'm halfway through it. And there's only 8 episodes.
It's worth watching. Like it's.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, when I did my deep dive, like I was like halfway through and I was like, I realized how much I liked the show. I went and did like looking back, like at the cast members and what they had done in the past. And I was shocked to see like Dan Levy was, he started out like a VJ on MTV in Canada. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, then he wanted to get into acting and stuff. And they were, I guess at some point, like, they had, him and his father had come up with this idea, and he was like, I had never written TV before. I didn't know what I was doing, but like his episodes are some of the funniest. And I just, like, it blows me away. Did you watch anything else?
No.
No?
Maybe. It's been a few weeks. It's like, what have we talked about?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we had any major deaths this week. Yeah, I don't have anything else on my list. I spent a large amount of time watching Schitt's Creek, so.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. Time well spent.
Yeah, there haven't been any big name deaths. David Allan Coe, who's had a big hit with Take This Job and Shove It, died.
Yeah.
Some Formula One driver.
Yeah.
Nobody good. Apparently, Diego Luna has been cast in the live-action version of Tangled.
I saw that. That's interesting. That's not something...
I just hope they don't do something... I hope they don't do something stupid like cast Zach Levi.
Well, from... So, I talked to my daughter about it because Tangled was one of her favorites. And when she heard that there was live-action, she's kind of been following it. And I think Levi is going to be... the king, Rapunzel's father. So it won't be a very big, big role, I guess.
He still doesn't deserve it.
No, he doesn't. Absolutely, he doesn't. But I don't know.
Yeah, I guess Milo Manheim is playing Flynn.
Yeah, he's from the zombie movies on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Which is good because Zachary Levi was trying to position himself to be Flynn Rider, and it's like, you're fucking old, mm-hmm. man.
Right.
Like, she's maybe literally...
Maybe they're spending
like,
all their money on Catherine Hahn.
Yeah, maybe. She's, what, 14 in the story?
Yeah.
Something like that? So, yeah, I don't know. I just don't think Disney needs to do a live action movie based on a movie that's less than fucking 20 years old.
Right. Well, it's all part of that money machine, because it renews the characters so that they don't go into public domain as quickly.
I guess, but you're only talking 20 years.
Yeah, still, that's 20 years to extend it.
I guess. But I mean, if they had waited another 20 and been like, oh, on the 40th anniversary, we're going to do a live action fucking Tangled with, you know, the up and coming stars of today. They, you know, they might have something there, but nope.
No, they're just going to keep churning them out.
Oh, man. So they can have Dwayne Johnson as Maui again?
Yeah. That's going to be great.
Am I going to see what?
Are you going to see Devil Wears Prada 2?
No.
No?
I don't know if I ever saw part one, to be quite honest.
I've seen parts of it.
It's just not something I've ever been interested in.
No?
No. Are you going to go see Mandalorian and Grogu in the theater? Or are you going to wait?
I don't know. I might see it like in the the early afternoon.
Yeah.
When nobody's there. Because we got one of those theaters with, you know, the recliners, and they bring food to your seat and all that shit.
Yeah.
I might.
I'm going to go see it in the theater. I just don't know what day yet.
Yeah.
I think I've seen every Star Wars movie in the theater at this point, so might as well. So Prime Video has for sale the Schitt's Creek episodes, but they're censored.
No.
Why would you censor? Okay, whatever. Why would you want to watch the censored version?
Interesting.
Yeah. Very weird.
You see, Warwick Davis is going to be in the new Harry Potter series.
Yeah. Is he the only returning cast member, I guess?
He's playing the same role he played. He plays Professor Flitwick.
Yeah.
But the actor who played Ron, Rupert Grint, is coming back as a teacher.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Guess he's got nothing else to do.
Well, pretty much.
That's kind of a, I don't know. I get Warwick Davis. It's not that big of a role. Like they're going to make him look different.
That was clever, and you didn't even realize it.
What?
Warwick Davis not playing a big role.
Okay. You know, that's fine, but like Rupert Grint, unless they throw him under a bunch of prosthetics, it's gonna be weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I just think maybe the major character should be, the major actor should just leave well enough alone.
Well, I mean, Tom Felton's been doing the Harry Potter play on Broadway.
Yeah, I guess.
Playing Malfoy.
I guess. It's sad that there's nothing else for them to do.
Yeah. Must be easy money.
I guess. I mean, but so it'd be to go on to the, all the conventions.
Right.
All right. Well, do you have anything else for this week?
No.
No? All right.
No.
All right.
No, that's it.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
I'd kill for a good coma right now.